Shavua Tov, everybody. Okay, welcome to Shechina. This is beautiful, the Shechina this week in Sefer Shmot. And Bakasha Rabbi Lieptag, it's all yours.
Okay, so I want to begin with a question before I share the source sheet. Where's the first time we have the word Shechina in Chumash? Anyone remember? No. I mean, before then, if someone asked you, what does the word Shechina mean? Someone suggest an answer? Like,
when people say Shechina. Influenced by the Kabbalah, you know, so it depends, you know, where you are.
But in general, don't people use the word a lot to encounter the Shechina?
Dwell.
The Shechina is resting
divine
here.
Divine presence.
God's presence.
It has something to do with God, right?
Right.
God's presence being felt. Now,
Rabbi?
Yeah, go ahead.
Doesn't it mean to reside?
No, the word lishkon for sure. Like, shachen means like a neighbor or to dwell somewhere. But the word Shechina itself is used in like rabbinic language for God's presence. Like, I'll bring an example soon. But who remembers where's the first time we have that word Shechina in Chumash? Do you understand my question? You would expect it to be in Chumash, wouldn't you? Okay. You know why no one knows where? There's a good reason why no one knows where. Take a wild guess.
It's not there.
And how about Navi? In Navi. Is the word Shechina Navi?
Can't remember.
How about Ketuvim or Tehillim or Yov?
Probably not.
Probably not. Otherwise, I wouldn't be asking, right? Isn't that surprising? Yes, we use that word so often for God's presence, but the word Shechina isn't there. Now, on a wild guess, would you say the word Shechina might have something to do with the Mishkan?
Yes, same root.
Okay.
Shachanti betocho.
Shachanti betocham and the Mishkan. The idea of Shechina and the Shkon and Mishkan go hand in hand. And the fact it's called a Mishkan, I think that's like the best proof of the Ramban Shita that the Mishkan is a mini Har Sinai. Because because Kvod Hashem is Shochen and Har Sinai, we'll see the verb Lishkon, and then there's also the noun, like a Shchona, like a neighborhood. But I want to discuss the word Shechina because it's very central to the Mishkan and very central to, like, not just the theme of Shmot, but also what's going on in Chumash. Okay, now, the verb Lishkon, anyone know where we have that the first time in Chumash? Just a warm-up game, and then we'll get started. The verb lishkon, like the paw, the verb. What's the first thing that's
in Shmot where it said lishkon?
No, for sure we have in Shmot. How about in Bereshit?
By Beres Ben Habasarim.
I don't think so, but
no?
Maybe.
Okay.
It would make sense. It would be, but I don't think it's there.
Okay. When Hashem said, my spirit.
No, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll get there. Okay. That's with Avraham Avinu. That's the prayer before Brit of Tarim. Okay.
Noach with Lo Yishkon Luchi Badam. When Hashem decides to destroy the world.
Lo Yishkon
Luchi Badam. My spirit won't bless with man. Anyway.
Yeah, that's in the beginning of Parshat Noach. Okay. It says, what seems that verse says he's going there? Anything beforehand?
Yefet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yafim, Yefet, Vishkon, Bo Leshem. Okay. There's one earlier, which relates a lot to the Mishkan. Okay. Some people want to get there sooner or later.
Gan Eden?
Yeah. Where do you have the verb like Vishkon by Gan Eden? What's protecting Gan Eden from people like us?
Yeah.
And how does God put them there?
Vayashkein
mikedem leGan Eden. We'll see it soon. Okay. So the first time you have the verb lishkon comes with the kruvim, correct? The kruvim, the guard that there to Gan Eden. And do we have kruvim in the Mishkan?
I know.
And what are they guarding? the Kodesh Kodeshim. Okay. I don't think that's by chance. That's all. Okay. So that's my little introduction. I will get to work. I'm saying there's something going on that I've been trying to teach you all year long, or I'm trying to support all year long, that the stories in the beginning of Bereshit are going to be a platform to learn, to understand the stories later in Shemot and Chumash. So they're, so, to appreciate what's happening in Shemot, sometimes you have to go back to Bereshit. So now we're going to go and start class. And I want to show you the earliest mention in Chazal. Because it's not that much in the Mishnah, but there's a famous Mishnah that you probably remember. And that's our first source today, okay? So we're all familiar with the word taste, class number 9. We're still a Sinai sight to see, I guess. Okay. And the concept of Shekhinah in Sefer Shemot. We're still reading to Har Sinai. We'll see why today. So we're all familiar with the word Shekhinah. What does the word mean or imply? We'll see. And we ask the question, is it used in the Torah? And we realize it's not. And so we're going to trace its uses in Shemot and suggest the meaning. So just for the fun of it, this has to do with today's news, okay? I'm not taking sides. I mean, I am taking sides, but not with this. Rabbi Hanina, the Mishnah begins with this. So I could start the next line, but Rabbi Hanina Skana Konim Omer, Havei Mitpalel Bishlama Shemachut. Pray for the peace, or Shlama could also mean harmony.
Well-being, right.
Well-being of the kingdom, of the government. Because if people don't fear government, okay? Ish et re'eu chayim b'lo'o. People just to be anarchy among people. Now, which side? No, it's what's considered machut? Is that the Supreme Court? Is it the government? What happens when government's corrupt and things like that? I don't want to get into that topic, but we definitely have to pray for shlomo shel machut. That's a little tefillah today. Now we get our topic. Rabbi Chanina Skana ben Tradion. There are two Rabbi Chaninas here. Ben Tradion Omer shneim shushvim ve'im benim divrei Torah. Right? That's the 10 minutes before we start our class. Harizeh Moshav Litzin. They talk about Hollywood squares we saw before. I'm just joking, Rabbi. Okay? Shneimar u'moshav Litzin lo yashav. Avo shneim shoshvim v'yesh b'nehem divrei Torah, shchina shroya b'nehem. There we have the word shchina in the Mishnah. It's one of the few times we actually have it. That's one. And that's shneimar. And we quote some pasuk. Now, let me turn my phone off somewhere. My phone is wherever my phone is. Okay. So here's my phone. Sorry about that. Okay. The Shekhinah is between them. And then we quote a pasuk. Now, I sort of joke sometimes that we see the word Shenemar and we turn our brains off. Correct? Like in Haggadah, it says Shenemar and we just read something. We don't pay attention. Whenever it says Shenemar, always look it up. That's a rule of thumb. And there's always a deep connection between the pasuk they're quoting and the statement they're making. But usually the main connection isn't the pasuk they're quoting, it's the context of the pasuk they're quoting. So anyone know where this pasuk is from? I mean, I just give it away. Malachi. But I think it's a timely pasuk. I didn't know what this have to do with something before Pesach. But what do we call the Shabbat before Pesach?
Matzah Gadol.
Yeah. And what Haftarah do we read? That's the end of it. But now, I want to show you what Shekhinah might have to do with this pasuk. I'm going to open up a chumash now. Let me stop this. We'll just take 5-10 minutes. 5 minutes, a little short class on the Haftarah for Shabbat HaGadol, which we read because we're preparing for Passover. Remember, Eliyahu Navi is not coming to herald Mashiach coming. Eliyahu is coming to prepare us to be worthy of Mashiach in case he comes. Because if Mashiach comes and we're not worthy, it can be ugly. That's a particular we don't sing, but that's the end of Tanakh. So I'll take a look there, but look at the background for it. Share my screen, and I need my. There we go. We don't need post attendee. We want Malachi. Here we go. So move this to the side. Okay. So Malachi Perakimo. No, the Perak begins with Hine Sholech Malachi. But the Haftarah begins with Pasuk Dalet. Davar Lashem Itchat Yudav Yerushalayim Kimei Olam. We're hoping that God will once again will accept the offerings of our korbanot if they're brought properly, like the good old days when we brought korbanot with the proper intentions. Remember, as employees and not as consumers. Okay? And then he says, I'm going to bring you to judgment, and I'm going to punish all the people going, following witchcraft, etc., and swearing falsely, and not paying the workers on time, and not taking care of the orphan, the widow, and mistreating the stranger, and those who don't fear me, God says. All the list of the different types of bad behavior that makes God upset, especially people coming to the Mikdash claiming to be religious and doing this when they leave the Mikdash. That's when God gets angry, and that's why he destroyed the Mikdash. Okay? And then he says, he gives a mussar from the time of your ancestors. You've gone away from my laws. You haven't kept them. And then the famous line of Bayit Sheni, Shuv Alei V'Ashuv Aleichem Zecharia. Also the beginning of Bayit Sheni has the same phrase in the beginning of Perek Aleph in Zecharia. Return to me, I'll come to you. Amar Shem Sevot. People ask, what can we do? And then God gives them a whole bunch of mussar. Okay. Basically, do better, and then the nations will be respect you, etc. Because you'll be a land that people look forward to, or like God says, if you keep my laws properly. And then God gives them rebuke again about the way they're talking about God, and God's angry for the people supporting people who are going astray. You know, it's people who are wicked. Religious people support them, and they're helping build evil with their actions, etc. And that's what God gets angry at. And then hopefully, Aznid Baru Yirei Hashem, then hopefully those who fear God, they'll finally speak to one another and sort of make a movement and get things moving. And V'yakshev Hashem, God will hear the people are doing tshuva, they're repenting, they're trying to fix their ways. And he'll write that down in his book of memory or book of judgment in front of him for those who fear God and think about his name. In other words, the process of tshuva begins with talking about introspection, people talking to one another, asking what we can do better, trying to figure out what's wrong, and then God will pay attention to that, and that begins the process of tshuva. And if it works, Vayuli, Amar Hashem, Tzvot, L'yom, Asher Niyoseh Skula. Now, Vayuli, that's implying Vayuli La'am, remember, Vani Elem L'Elohim? On the day that I make him my Oseh Skula, that goes back to Har Sinai, doesn't it? Beitem Ni Skula Bikol Lamim. And then I'll have mercy on you, just like a person with mercy on his child or on his servant. And then v'shaptem, and then you'll see between the tzaddik and the rasha, and someone who serves God, the Oved Elohim, remember the servant, not the consumer, and those who don't suffer. And then because a day is coming, this is Yom Hashem that's coming, where God's going to come and punish those who are evil and reward those who are good. And it'll be like a day of fire. And the sun will shine on those who fear me, and those for the righteous will be nice and healthy, and it'll sort of punish the Rishayim. And therefore, remember Torah Moshe Avdi, remember the Torah and the Chukim, and I'll send Eliyahu the Navi before the day comes, and his job is to get people to do tshuva, for the parents to, the Avot HaBanim, HaBanim HaAvotam, that's the thing, it's bringing God back to, if we're like children to God, we'll bring the hearts of the children back to God and God's hearts back to his children. Because if we don't do proper tshuva, penavovi keti et eretz cherem, that's saying we don't sing that song, but that's the main point. Eliyahu's job is to make sure if God comes, his presence is felt, then we'll be worthy of a good judgment. In a nutshell, but that's the, but this whole idea of tshuva and being worthy of God's presence and God's presence being felt, but God's presence can bring punishment as well as salvation, but that idea of God's presence being felt on the Sinai Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Nora, and the idea of Shekhinah, God's presence, I think when Chazal picked this pasuk, that when people talk to one another and talk about Torah, about improving their behavior and following God properly, that brings the Shekhinah back in the context of the parak. As also I was saying, when you see the Mishnah and they quote this pasuk, you have to realize it's from Malachi Perek Gimel, and it's all part of a tshuva process, because God's presence can come and be felt, but we have to be worthy of his presence. And if we're not worthy, it can be a difficult experience instead of a good one. Okay, now we'll start our shir. That was our little class on Haftarah for next week. Now, let's go back to our source sheet and follow the word Shekhinah. Okay, Shmokim. The first time we have it in Shmot, I'm going to go through, I'll go back to this in a minute. I have them I did a little. I'll go forward a little bit. I'll make this a drop bigger. No, it didn't work. I did an Alatora search for the word Shechina and for the verb Shechina. So the first time is in Gan Eden, in the end of chapter 3, God sends man out of Gan Eden, Vaishkon mikerem leGan Eden, to Kruvim. He sort of dwells down or puts down the Kruvim to guard the way to Eitz HaChaim. Remember, in the Kruvim, we'll see them very soon. And then, Yaftin leYefet vishkon b'Ez HaShem, that's something positive, where Yefet, hopefully, with his culture, will dwell together with in the tents of Shem, and there'll be a good relationship between all the different nations. Now, this is the one I like most. In the four kings and the four kings and five kings, Lot is was taken captive. I want to open this up in Chumash. I want to show you the contrast here. I think this is almost a very defining definition for Shochen. You go back to Bereshit chapter 14. In verse 12, what happens? That's not chapter verse 12. We need chapter 14, verse 12. It says like this. Vayichu et Lot v'et ruchusho v'enach Abraham v'yelechu v'hu yoshev v'stom. They took Lot, and Lot was living in Stom. How do we talk about Lot? Lot in Stom, who yoshev v'stom. V'yavo palit v'agil Avram ha'ivri v'hu shochen v'lonei mamre. You see the contrast between Yoshev Bistom and Avram is Shochen Be'elonei Mamre. What's the next time we have Elonei Mamre? Parashat Ve'era. What's Avram doing in Elonei Mamre? V'erel Hashem Be'elonei Mamre, hu Yoshev Petachuel Kechom Hayom, V'yisana Bayar, V'nishu Shem Malachim. Elonei Mamre is the place where Avram is doing Chesed, doing Hachnasat Orchim, welcoming guests and living a life of helping others. And that's Avram, you know, being Shochem, Ben Elonei Mamre. Remember the Shekhinah is in the tent of Avram, all the Midrashim about Sarah, as opposed to Lot, who's Yoshev Bistom. But the contrast between, it's talking about the location. Avram's located on the mountain range in Elonei Mamre. Lot is down in the valley in Sdom, in Bikat Arden. But the contrast, who Yoshev Bistom and Avram is Shochem, Ben Elonei Mamre, I think that shows you the positive concept of Shekhinah. Now, the next source was, go back to our source sheet, and what's the next one? Here we go. By Yishmael, it's interesting. Yishmael is going to be about Pinikot HaVishkon. That's not necessarily anything negative. It could even be something positive. And when we get to Toldot of Yishmael, Parshat Chayei Sarah, Vishkenu, remember, God's blessing to Hagar when she was chased out by Sarah, and God tells Sarah, Hagar to go back to Sarah. But God will bless the child. You know, he'll be a free person and have an effect on the whole area. And that was fulfilled by Shkenu Michavadiyat Shora Shapane Mitzrayim Belocha Ashura Apnei Koach Havnafa. And that's not necessarily anything negative. It could be something positive at the pshat level. Now, when Yitzchak wants to go down because of the famine, God appears to Yitzchak in the beginning of Parshat Tot and said, "Alter Mitzrayim Ashchon Ba'aretz." Again, something positive. And here it's interesting. Vahi Bishkon Yisabetz Ahi. Then the story of Reuven with Pidlegesh. But despite all that, Vahi Benekov Shneimasar. That's in the background. And then the Brachat Zvulun at the end of Breshit Vulachofim Mishkon. Why isn't there the one that you said? Let me just check real fast. Chapter 6 with Lo Yishkon Ruchi Ba'adam. I didn't remember that one, but that was beginning of chapter 6, verse 3. No, okay. Lo yadun ruchi, okay? That's why it's not there. Somebody said, Lo yishkon, that's it. B'yom Hashem, lo yadun ruchi ba'adam, b'shagam u'basar. Didn't say yishkon, it says yadun. Already? So that's why it wasn't in the...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
First of all, the first one that you showed is the only one that is active. It's like Binyan Ifil that is making somebody else. So it's like different from all the others that you brought. So I don't know.
For sure, about that. And it's much stronger also because of that.
Exactly. So yeah. I think it's different and it should be put maybe differently. And the second thing is that Tachan and the Yatav is basically the same meaning. They're both like, They have the same meaning of living, you know, like
that's exactly my point, because they both mean the
so
same thing.
I don't know
thing.
why you make a difference between Yoshev, you know, you're superimposing, you know, what happens later with Lot than in Abraham, you know, but I think that Yashav and Shachan is the same thing, because both
they're
of them.
They're synonymous for sure. They're definitely synonymous, but because we have this contrast between Lot and Abraham all the way through, and between Sdom and Edonai Mamre. Remember, Sdom, there's no Hachnasat Orchim. And by Avram Vinu, it's all about Hachnasat Orchim. And Avram is chosen over and Lot is out. The fact that, because they're synonymous, and we put them in a contrast, and I told you, Brishi is always a setup for later.
Right.
That was especially where it's not a later time. Brishi is setting the stage for Shmot. Therefore, if Chumash is using two verbs to describe people living somewhere, and Avram is Shochen and Dafkin Elonei Mamre, which is where Parsha Ve'era happens, where the Malachim come, and Avram is chosen there, remember, to do Mishpat and Staka. So I think that using the verb Shochen is setting the stage for the idea of Shekhinah.
Okay.
It doesn't mean every time the word Shekhinah is something positive, but I think showing the contrast with Lot is something positive.
I disagree that they're synonymous per se.
Explain why, Asher?
Why?
Because Yoshev, Yashav, is referring to the place where he dwelled, but Yishkon is always in the context of relationships with other people, with whom he developed and had a specific kind of relationship with them. Lot chooses a place because of its fertility, because of its economics, etc. It's the place where he plants himself, as it were. Whereas in the case of Edonai Mamre, with it, you see from how the story plays out that he had it says they were Baalei Brito, and then you see that not only were they Baalei Brito, but they were willing to go out to battle with him.
Mm-hmm. For sure. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you. That has a more of a positive. To show you this idea, if I remember correctly, Lot etem ha'aretz asher atem yoshvim ba, asher ani shochem b'tocha. I like that one. That's about what you're saying, Asher?
Right.
This is by Ari Miklat. Don't defile the land which you're living in, avani shochem b'tocha. But God won't continue to shochem b'tocha if you don't take care of murder. If murder happens and you don't respect life properly, and you let people get away with murder, take kofar for the nefesh rotzeach, or or for someone going to Ir Miklat, if you don't follow the tachnif with the aretz, okay, asher tem sham, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore here, that definitely the verb shochein is parallel to yoshev, but in a more positive sense, because it's referring to God being shochein b'tocha. Keni Hashem shochein b'toch b'nei Yisrael. And therefore, God's Shekhinah will leave. Remember what's cute. What causes God's Shekhinah to leave in Sefer Bamidbar is Shvichu Damim. What causes God's Shekhinah to leave in Sefer Vayikra is Arayot in Perek Yudchet. What causes God's Shekhinah to leave in Shmot is Avodah Zarah by Chet Ha'Egel. You knew that, Rui?
In this example, it's a perfect example where you cannot substitute the verb yud shin bet for the verb shin.
Okay, agreed.
Yeah. You can't substitute it here.
You're right. I think that what you said about the relationship, that shin chat nun is a relationship, like shchuna, shachen, it comes from shachen. You know, somebody is next to you, so yeah, I'm convinced. Okay, thanks. Okay.
So in Parsha Lachodesh coming up this week, we have Vlakach Ishad Meitrut et Madikot. In Parsha Rechodesh, you have to take the Shechina, you have to bring the Bahu Shechino to make the group as well, also the neighborhood. And also when they borrow Kelim, Mishchenta. But usually, that's right, Shechinim are good. Okay. In modern day Hebrew, we have called Lasat Shechuna. It's like not just a neighborhood, but like a Shechuna is like a buzzword for like a nice group of people, like a chevra, like a little clique. Okay, let's get back to work. And where are we? Stop the share. But you see how the word's developing in Chumash. I just wanted to point out the word. Yeah, we use the word Shekhinah so often. I thought it was worth giving a share on that topic today and see how it helps us understand the Mishkan. We're back to our source sheet. Okay. Oh, I was doing the sources. Okay. Now we get to say, that's it for Breshit. Now in Shmot, the first time in Shmot is in Shmot Chav Dalet. We're going to see this in detail. Then we're going to have at the beginning of the Mishkan and almost at the end of the Mishkan, there's these two, Vasuli Mikdash Veshachanti and the Veshachanti. There was Vasuli Veshachanti in the beginning of Parsha Truman, chapter 25. And then the Parsha Tetzaveh, Veshachanti B'toch Bnei Yisrael, we're going to see how that's going to form a unit, which will be really important. And then this is the next line at the end of the unit. And then the very end of the book, which will be the key to understanding the Mishkan, when the Mishkan is finally built, the Anan Shochein on the Mishkan. Okay? So these are the ones we have to see today, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and 13. These are the main ones in Sefer Shmot, the verbs in Shmot, that all relate to the Mishkan. So let's go back and follow it. Okay? And we go back to what I said before. So we'll begin with the Pesukim, which we saw last week. Moshe goes up to get Luchot Eben, the Torah and the Mitzvah. We had the whole discussion. Is this the instruction book for the Mishnah and the commandment to build it, keeping Chumash in order, or is this the Luchot Eben, which would be the Ten Commandments, and the Torah are the laws and Sefer Devarim, and the Mitzvah is the HaMitzvah and Sefer Devarim, which follow the Ten Commandments when we study Sefer Devarim. See that in much more detail, which will be a much better explanation we'll see later on. And then Moshe goes up and tells his kingdom to say that was the topic of Sichat Ego. Then Vayam Moshe Lahar, here's what's key for today's shir. Moshe goes up the mountain, Vaychas Hanan Atahar, the cloud covers the mountain. Vayishkon Kvod Hashem Ahar Sinai, God Shekhinah, here we have the verb Shekhinah for the first time in Sefer Shmot. Okay? The verb Shekhinah. We have the Shekhinah, the noun, in Parshat HaChodesh, and in borrowing from your neighbors in the end of Perigimel, but the first time we have the noun, the verb Lishkon is here, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem, and what Shochein? Kvod Hashem. Now, what Asher pointed out was very important, because if Shekhinah is a relationship between neighbors, an influence among neighbors, the idea that not that God's presence is there, but there's a connection between God's presence and our behavior. So we have a connection to Him and we work together. That's why the idea is so important. Okay, by Shkon Kvod Hashem Har Sinai, and God calls Moshe on the seventh day, Marek Kvod Hashem is Esh Ochelet, and Moshe comes in the Anan and goes up the mountain, like we discussed last week. That leads to the, at the very end of Sefer Shmot, when they finally build the Mishkan, we have almost the exact same Sukkim. We talked about this last week, and this was the anchor of the Ramban Shita, which we'll see more in detail today. Remember, here we saw Moshe goes up the mountain by Chasan and Taruch by Shem Kod Hashem Har Sinai. At the very end of Sefer Shmot, well, this week's Parsha, by Chasan and Ta'o Moed, Ukvod Hashem Aleit Mishkan, almost the exact same idea. The Mishkan replaces Har Sinai. Okay. So we have the idea of Shekhinah. Here's passive, here's active, but Kvod Hashem is Shochein on the Mishkan, just like Kvod Hashem was Shochein on Har Sinai. And so we see, now I'm going to read Ramban on Shmot. Ramban basically, and by trying to explain last week, we did it quickly at the end of the shir, is that there's that argument whether the laws of the Mishkan came right away in the first 40 days or the second or the last 40 days. I try to explain that even if chronologically they were given later, and we try to prove that was a, that made more sense when you follow the story of Chet Ega, but thematically, the need for a Mikdash, the need for a portable Mishkan, or maybe a project developing Mishkan might have been because of Chet Ega, but the very need for some tabernacle or some temple, some structure that reminds us of our connection to God, we need no matter what. And therefore the concept of a Mikdash or a Beit Elohim, Am Yisrael needs a place to go, to remember the connection to God in Har Sinai. And what I want to get to in a nutshell is that not that the nation builds the Mishkan, but the Mishkan builds the nation. The same thing, a community doesn't build a shul, the shul builds a community. Same thing on a sports team. The players don't make the team. The team builds the players. So the same thing, I need this Mishkan project to bring the nation together, to build a nation serving God, following His instructions. But the idea that Am Yisrael can't leave Har Sinai, but needs a constant reminder of Har Sinai, that's what the Rambam makes a big deal about. And even if he's wrong chronologically, he's correct thematically, because of all these parallels. These parallels have nothing to do with the portability of the Mishkan, but rather the essence of the Mishkan. So I'll read again the Ramban, but he will do it in detail, and look at the proofs he brings. The Soda Mishkan is what? That the Kvod Hashem that was Shochen in Har Sinai, Shochen Elab Benistar, Har Sinai was Nigle, God's presence was seen, was felt, could be experienced at a much higher level, but we want to keep that Benistar in a hidden manner. It's not obvious, but you have to perceive God, but it's not as easy, it's not as obvious, but it continues. And therefore, when you go to visit God in the temple, it's supposed to remind you of your experience at Har Sinai. Now, what's his proof? Ukumosh and Amar in Perach Avdalet, what we just read, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem Har Sinai. Then he brings a pasuk from Dorim where in, before the Ten Commandments, after the Ten Commandments, when the people said, Hei Nirei Hashem et Kvodom, that the people saw God's Kavod. Not that God's Kavod was there, but the people saw it. Okay, and therefore it says, by the Mishkan, the Kvod Hashem, Aleta Mishkan, the parallel we saw right here, this parallel, the Ramban anchors his connection between Har Sinai and the Mishkan on that parallel. Okay. And the Psukim and Devarim, he wants to tie them together. Then he says as follows. The Mishkan carried the same glory of God that was on Har Sinai. And when Moshe would come in, the Dibur, God would speak to Moshe, just like he spoke on Har Sinai. Okay. God, we heard God's voice. On Har Sinai, we saw the fire down below. And Mishkan, it says, Vayishmata kol medaber el me'al kapor mibein shnei kruvim. And God will speak to him. That's the end of Perachafei, or the end of the laws of the Aaron and middle Perachafei. Pasachabet. Okay. And in a nutshell, right here, remember we had these four boxes? Mamad Har Sinai, the end of Perachav Dalet. Moshe goes up to Har Sinai. And the end, when they put the Mishkan together, so the psukim that are parallel here in our box, between Shemot Chav Dalet and Shemot Mem, where they're located, they're the trailer of each box. Like the end of the Mamad Har Sinai ends with Kvod Hashem. The end of the Mishkan is the same Kvod Hashem. Now, in light of that, I want to show you, I want to go back to Truma and Tetzaveh and simply make a, so we went through the verb Shekhinah, we did that. Now I want to make a note about the unit of the Mishkan. I'm going to stop the share for a minute and want to use a regular Tanakh. If you have a Koran with you, it's even better. Let me share my screen real fast and show you a better Chumash. Here we go. Not Sefer Devarim. We're going to want Sefer Shemot. Also, I want to show you, if I study the Mishkan starting in Perach Hafei, a little bit smaller so we can see it, starting in Perach Hafei, we identified last week, there's one Dibur that begins in chapter 25, goes all the way till the middle of chapter 30. Five chapters, almost five and a half chapters of Mishkan. And we pointed out how structured it is. I just want to go over it again one more time, and we're going to make a table and try to understand where the concept of Shekhinah is so central to this unit. So first God tells Moshe to collect the donations of gold and silver, tzavchesa and copper, etc., and all the material, etc. But the key line is pasachet. Va'astu l'mikdash v'shachanti betocham, kocha asher nimaret et tavnit ha-mishkan v'tavnit kol chilav, v'chein tasu. So what's he say? Built for me a mikdash v'shachanti betocham. See the word shechina, the verb now shechina. God will dwell among us with this mikdash. And everything I'm showing you, et tavnit ha-mishkan, the shape of the mishkan, and the shape of all its kelim, and that's what we need to do.
Rabbi?
Yeah, sure.
A question. Why do you translate v'shachanti betocham amongst them rather than within them, in them? It's not among. It's betocham. It's not talking about Am Yisrael. It talks about individual betocham.
I'm highlighting not betocho, but no, it's not b'shochanti b'tocho. God isn't dwelling in the Mishkan. He's dwelling among the nation. Keep your question in mind. We're going to get to it very soon. Because when you get to, when you understand what happened with Chetah Egel, in Chetah Egel, what's God said? Ki lo lebikir bracha. After Chetah Egel, God takes the Shekhinah away. It says he can't identify, he can't dwell among the people, and Moshe has to leave to talk to God. Moshe has to leave the camp. He has to go outside the camp to meet God. And after they build the Mishkan, the Shekhinah returns to the camp. And God's not with, it's not God in the Mishkan, God is in the nation that camps around the Mishkan. That's why the Shachanti B'tocham is so important.
Also, the subject in this paragraph, the subject is B'nai Yisrael. It's the nation as a collective. It's not the individuals. It doesn't say the individuals. It's the nation.
Yeah. In a Kabbalah concept, they put that more into, like, God's presence is with each one of us. But you're right. Asher, I think, is correct at the Pshat level that God's Shekhinah is with the nation. And we can see that all through this whole section. On the national level, with the people. Because in Har Sinai, we're a people making a covenant with God. Now, the people is a collection of individuals, but God's covenant is with the people, with the nation. But Chazal called Knesset Yisrael. But they were, our connection is with the group, as a group with God, as a nation. Okay, then, that's the first time we have the word Shekhinah. We won't have it now. Now, the whole thing is going to be called a Mishkan again, Et Tavnit HaMishkan. Therefore, the name of it, of the structure, will be the Mishkan, because it's a place where the Shekhinah will, not the Shekhinah will dwell in it, but it will represent God's Shekhinah with the whole nation. Therefore, we start with the Aron, the first Kli, and the Kapor, that with the Kruvim. Remember the Kruvim on the, to make Vasita Kaporet, we'll get that word later on, with Kruvim on both sides. Remember, we go back to Gan Eden, where by Ashken Hashem, from the entrance to the east of Gan Eden, the Kruvim guarding the Derech Etz Chaim. And then, between the Kruvim, God will meet, or I'm sorry, we put on the Kapor, we put the Aron inside the, under the Kaporet, and God will meet Moshe there and speak to Moshe from on the Kaporet, all of his commandments for Bnei Yisrael. Then we have Vasita Shulchan, just follow the order, and Vasita Menorah. Those are all the Kelim in the Mishkan. In chapter 26, we get the structure. But the Mishkan Tase Eser Yiriot, for the covering of the Mishkan will be 10, basically it's a blanket cover over the whole edifice and how we build it. And then we need the poles to hold it up, Vasita Tekrashim. And then we need the Parochet, the device between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodeshim. That's chapter 26. Chapter 27, we're out to the courtyard. Vasita, remember Vasita in every single section begins with the commandment to do. We build the Mizbeach and the Chatzer around it. And then we have the commandment to bring the Shemen HaMishcha. And then chapter 28, we're going to have all the Big Day Kuna. Vasita Big Day Kodesh Aron Lechicha. And then Vasuat Eifod, Vasita Mishpat Zuzah, Vasita Choshem Mishpat. We're going to repeat them all in Parshat Pekudei this week. The Me'il, the Tzitz, and we have all the Big Day Kuna. Chapter 29. That's where we get to. And this is what we need to do to get things moving, to take the Kohanim and make them Kohanim. We need the 7 days of Miluim, the 7 day inauguration ceremony to get them started. Special Korbanot every day. And when they're done, they officially become Kohanim, and we need Kapara on the Mizbeach and on the Kohanim, and we need a whole procedure. Not our topic. Our topic will begin here. We just had basically almost the entire Mishkan and the 7 day Miluim. And then we're going to have, now that the 7 days of Miluim are over, on a daily basis now afterwards, we have what's called the Korban Tamid. We do on the Mizbeach. Now, I'm going to read this, but I'm going to switch out to an English Hebrew Tanakh and read it inside. And I want to pay attention to something. Share my screen and open up. Oh, it was right there before, my mistake. Just had to switch my window. Exodus 29. Okay, but I was open already. Okay, let's take a look. If we have time, I'll talk about why Kevis. I don't think we're going to have time, though. Listen to these psukim and tell me what makes them special. V'zeh asher tasel l'mizbech kvasim b'nei shenah shnayim liyom al tamid. On the Mizbech, we do what's called the Korban Tamid, Kevis in the morning and Kevis in the evening. That's the background for Shacharis and Mincha. Okay. And we need a flower offering, Sodlet B'lubal Shemen, and wine offering. Remember, we always have an animal, we have wine, and we have flour. All things that relate to man's different than being an animal. The man's diet, processed food, processing flour, domesticating wheat, processing wine and grapes, and domesticating sheep and cattle.
Solet is not flour. Solet is
meal. It's fine. Is what?
And there's a big difference between flour and meal. It has to do with the germ of the seed has proteins and fats.
You think solet is healthier?
We won't go into the issue of healthy or not healthy. We'll go into the issue of what the actual material is.
It's the grain of the chita that's grinded, right?
Yes, but it's then carefully sifted up and down. It's not sifted to make finer, that is, more duck. Finer in terms of texture. That's not the way it's sifted. If you look at the carefully read the Perush HaRambam in Menachot on it, you'll see that what you do is you remove the big stuff and the little stuff, and you're left with a material that's in between in terms of its texture. And that is called Ari Kaplan correctly translates it as meal. Not flour.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to look that up. That's interesting. I'll check that. Okay. What do they say here in English? What's it say in English? Okay. It says fine flour, but I guess I understand what you're saying. But that's an interesting topic. So now let's continue. The keves hasheni, you do in the evening, and like the one in the morning, with the same, and it's all reach nechoach. Again, topics we'll do later on. Now, listen carefully. We finished the daily offering. Olat tamid ledorotechem. This olah will be forever now, for all generations. Petach olam moed, at the entrance of olam moed. Lifnei Hashem, in front of God, referring to the Aron. Asher yivaydach hashama, where God is going to meet you there, the Deber Elech Hashem. That's God's going to speak to Moshe, to speak to Bnei Israel, but the meeting place between God and the Jewish people will be in the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, there in the Kodesh Kodeshim. God will talk to Moshe and give him the laws. Which is, in other words, the Olat Tamid is on the Mizbeach on the outside, and Am Yisrael, and God is represented by the Aron on the inside with the Kruvim. Then, Benoadeti Shama Livnei Yisrael, Benitash Bichodit. I'm going to meet not just Moshe there, but the nation of Israel, and therefore the place will be called maybe sanctified. But see the word Kavod Hashem again. God's Kavod will be resting there, and it'll be unique in the fact that God's presence will be felt there. Now, look at this line: V'kidashtit Ohel Moed Bet Hamizbeach Bet Aron Banav Akedesh Lechayim Li. I'm going to set aside, separate, no, it's sanctified, if you want to say here, the tent of meeting and the altar, and Aaron and his sons, I'm going to separate to serve me. Now, what's the function of Pasek Mem Daled? Someone tell me. It's real simple, but someone tell me, what is Mem Daled doing?
It summarizes everything.
It's a perfect summary, isn't it? The Ohel Moed is what's inside the tent with the vessels, with the Aaron, Shulchan, Menorah, etc. The Mizbeach has to be Mizbeach Chitzoni. We haven't heard about the Mizbeach Pnimi yet. It's got to be the Mizbeach Olam Nechatzer. And Aron Avanav, that's going to be the Kohanim. And the so basically, the Ohel Moed is chapters 25 and 26. The Mizbeach was chapter 27. Aron Avanav was chapter 28 and 29. Thing. And we're all set. And look at the beautiful ending. V'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, v'ayti lam Elohim. Now, what's this closing up? V'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. That's closing up the opening line. V'asu l'mikdash v'shachanti. That should be obvious. Now, where's this coming from? Beiti lechem l'Elohim. Someone better know the answer. Knows why? Where's the first time you have this phrase?
Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Before you set Mitzrayim. Before you set Mitzrayim. That's the fourth cup. Right? L'lachachem l'ilam beiti lechem l'Elohim.
Beiti lechem l'Elohim.
Where's the first time we have l'lachachem l'Elohim?
Oh, the snare.
Before
the snare. Everything starts in Bereshit. Come on.
In Bria, Space, and Episode.
Close. You got the first word correct.
Bris Mila.
Brit Mila. Okay. Second
guess.
It's so basic. It just always drives me nuts. You go to a bris, people think bris means circumcision. Brit means covenant. Baby bris does, but Brit means covenant. And remember, circumcision is an oat Brit. But the theme of Brit develops in Chumash. I have it right here. A second. Oh, I fell down from the bottom. My mistake. Just a quick review. Bereshit, chapter 17. Just on the way there. Remember, there's the Brit in chapter 9. Bakimoti Briti Itchem lo kirit kovasar mimei amabo. And zot ota Brit asher tem beni ubenechem. Et kashina tate banan. Remember, that's Brit Keshet. Remember the phrase, Vakimoti and Briti? There won't be another blood. And then in chapter, the next time Elohim speaks to anybody, after chapter 9, it'll be Avram Avinu in chapter 17, where God tells his name, new name, El Shaddai, and with the commandment, Terech Lefanevi Etamim, Bena Briti Bini Benecha, by Paul Avram Lapanav, Elohim speaks to Avram, I'm going to make a Brit with you, etc. Pru Urvu again, and then Vakimoti et Briti Bini Benecha, 17:7. There'll be an eternal covenant between God and the people, God and Avram's offspring. Because Avram's going to become a nation, therefore, between God and Avram and his offspring, there'll be an eternal covenant that can't be broken. I'll be your God, the corollary is you'll be my people. Okay? And as a vehicle to facilitate this covenant, God set aside the land of Canaan, and there I'll be your God. Okay? And then God says, keep this Brit, and as a sign of the Brit, Himolachem Kol Zachar, circumcised, and Matem Kol Basar, Barayela Ot Brit, Ben Yub Benichem. Circumcision is the reminder of the covenant. The covenant is the Ot Lachad Elohim. Therefore, when we go out of Egypt, the Ot Lachad Elohim is going to be key. Just fast forward, as long as I have a Chumash open. In the Tochacha and Vayikra, you have everything comes together in the beginning of, in chapter 26. Remember, if you follow my laws, I'll give you rain at the right time. God will bless your land, etc. Okay. Ufaniti alechem, vifreiti etchem, verbeiti etchem, vakimoti briti etchem. This is in the Tochacha, the positive side of the Tochacha in the end of Sefer Vayikra, the book of Dusha. Okay. Then v'chatem yishan hashan. Venetati Mishkani betochachem. Remember, my Mishkan will be betochachem. That's I'll dwell among you. Vitalakti betochachem. We're going back to Vitalech Latanai and going back to Gan Eden. Vaiti lechem lalohim batem tili la'am. That's the Brit. That's the covenant of Chumash, a nation in the service of God. And therefore, then we go right to the Ten Commandments. Ani Hashem Elokechem asher tzeit etchem eretz Mitzrayim. Instead of working for them, being avodim to Paro, I took your yoke of your work from Paro and now made you free so you can serve me. If you don't listen, boy, you're in trouble. And then Vashimoti Mikdashechem Lorech Brech Nichochem, if you don't listen. But that phrase Elohim is so basic to Chumash. And now let's just go back to where we were before. Bam 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 bam. Where were we? We went through all these. There we go. Back at the end of chapter 29. Our summary psukim, v'shachanti b'tok ma'isavayti elam Elohim, and then v'yadu, remember that's Brit Milah, now we get to Brit Ben Abtarim and getting out of Egypt, v'yadu ki ani Hashem Elokechem, asher tzeiti etchem eretz Mitzrayim, why are you going to take us out of Egypt? L'shokni b'tocham, ani Hashem Elokechem. That's like, it's covenantal as could be. Now, I don't think you need any stronger proof that the goal of the Mishkan is a reminder of Har Sinai, isn't it? If Har Sinai is were the covenant we made at Brit Milah, that to be a nation in the service of God, and the covenant of Brit Ben Abtarim, God to watch our history to make us that nation and redeem us, you can, with those psukim are clearly the summary of the Mishkan. When the Chumash summarizes the Mishkan and talks about the Shekhinah dwelling in the Mishkan, it goes right back to the theme of covenant. And the covenant of Har Sinai and the covenant God made with Brit Avot, with our forefathers. Therefore, what Ramban is saying is so basic and can't be argued with. You can argue with his chronology, but the need for a mikdash, some central edifice, like some building, some structure, where the Jews gather and visit and reminds them of the experience at Har Sinai, You need that forever. Now, in my opinion, the most important part, once we establish that, because later on, the shul will be a mini mikdash. Remember, a mikdash ma'at. And whatever the purpose of the mikdash was, that becomes the purpose of the shul. And therefore, when you come to shul, to daven or to meet God, whatever the purpose of the mishkan was, is the purpose of the shul. And the question is, when you remember Har Sinai, am I remembering the chavaya, the experience of closeness to God, of God's presence being felt? And it's called like that spiritual high. Or am I remembering the content, the Torah, my commitment to be God's people, and the guidebook, the Torah that I have to study to get my job done? In other words, am I coming for my religious high, my religious experience, or am I coming to reinforce my commitment, what's called Kablat Omachot Shemaim, accepting the yoke of heaven, to serve God when I leave the temple or when I leave Shul? The question, how much the visit to the Mikdash and later the visit to the Beit Knesset affects how you behave when you leave the Beit Knesset. Got that idea? From an educational point of view, I think that's key. And therefore, it's not just a technicality that the Mishkan is a mini Har Sinai for memory, for what's called, what do you call it, nostalgic memory of a historical event at a national level. It's the importance of that event you need to remember. I like to call it transformative memory. And that's what made such a big deal about the idea of Shekhinah. The idea that if you behave properly when you leave the Mikdash, and you behave properly before you come to the Mikdash, then God identifies, if God's name is associated with you, and God feels comfortable with your presence, you're representing Him properly, then you and God become this partnership between you and God, and the Shekhinah is with you. But it's not simply coming to visit God for a religious high and experiencing God's presence, but what effect it has on your day-to-day behavior. Which goes back to what I talked about, employee mode, not just consumer mode when you come and visit God. Right, so that's the main point I want to get across. And now we want to close it up. I want to do something which I thought I have more time for. I'll just get the main point of it. Let me share my regular screen now and go back to what we just did. Okay, so on the source sheet, I put Asur Mikdash as the title. We have the vessels in the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Aron, the Kaporet, and the Shulchan and Menorah. Then we have that's chapter 25. Then we have chapter 26. I'm going to make this smaller for a minute so we can see it. But we'll read between the lines in a minute. We have the Ohel Moed. It's over here. We have the Ohel Moed, the coverings, the riot, the canvas covers the tent, the krashim, and the parochet, chapter 26. Chapter 27, the outdoor mizbeach, mizbeach ha'olah, where you bring the korban tamid and the chatzer around it, the courtyard, the oil from the Nora, that's something special, which introduces the big day kona, chapter 28, chapter 29, 7-day inauguration ceremony in the Olat Tamid, and then the summary psukim, remember? The summary psukim of all notes. God will meet Am Yisrael in the Kodesh Kodeshim, and then the three sections, the Ohel Moed, Mizbeach, and Aron HaBanav, like we saw, and then make this a little smaller so you can see what I did. It's hard to pronounce that. Vastum of Veshachanti, got it? Veshachanti B'toch B'nei Yisrael, and B'tocham, V'yadu Kin Hashem, Asher Tzeit Chom Yetzim Tzayim, L'shochni B'tocham. I simply drew that to show you, that's what's called a unit, that's what I'm trying to go through all the time, to show there's units in Chumash. You can't miss this as a unit, this is how it begins, this is how it ends, and its goal. I need this for the introduction, but this closure line connects it to the covenant of Sefer Bereshit and the purpose of our chosenness, and this for the basic idea of a Mishkan being a place to remember our covenantal commitment becomes crystal clear. Now, what's problematic afterwards is when this is over, there's more parts of the Mishkan that are sort of left out. They're not just left over, we'll see they're left out. I'll see what I mean. What do we have afterwards? Let me go back to my Chumash and share it real fast. This is much more helpful if you do this on your own and take a look. Where are we? I wanted this one. Here we go. We did, this was chapter 29, right? Chapter 30, what do we have? The Mizbach Ktoret, which comes afterwards. Got it? And then that's the end of the first Nibor. Then God speaks, remember, six more times after one time. Remember, we talked about last week, the seventh time of Shabbat. But of the six times, the first time is going to be the Machzit HaShekel. Then we're going to have the Kior. laver where you wash your hands next to the mizbech and the chatzer, and then we have making the shemen amishcha, the anointing oil, then making the ktoret, and then afterwards we'll have appointing Bezalel to build it, and then keeping Shabbat, or not building the mishkan on Shabbat, and Shabbat is an old breed. We talked about that last week a little bit. God speaks to Moshe 7 times in this big unit, but what's the most important thing is that if I make a list here, now we'll go back to my other source sheet. There we go. If I look at the list of what's left over, I can make it bigger now. It didn't get bigger. So make it bigger. Here we go. Okay. What was left over? Remember, we have the Shekhinah unit. When the Shekhinah unit is over, I have the Mizbach Ktoret. I have the Machzit HaShekel. I have the Kior. I have the Shemen HaMishcha and the Ktoret. Then I appoint Bezalel and then Shabbat. Now, the question is going to be, of course, is why they're left over. I'm sure everyone's familiar with the question and the problem. If I build one in Parsha Truma and Parsha Ve'akov Pekudei, they're all back in order where they should be. But the leftovers are left over in order. I want to show you why. I'll do a little editing on my page here. If I go back to my list, okay, we'll take them one at a time. Where does the, I'll make this smaller, okay. Oh, not good. This is better. Okay. Where do I put the Mizbach Toret? The Mizbach Toret belongs right here. I have a way to do this here. I learned how to do something here. Here we go. Okay. Mizbach Toret belongs right here, doesn't it? Mizbach Toret. Okay. The Machzit HaShekel, anyone remember if you read Parsha Pekudei this morning? In shul. I mean, tomorrow morning we'll read it. Yesterday at Mincha. Okay. What did they use the silver for from the Machzit HaShekel? Anyone know? Anyone paid attention Shabbos at Mincha? Anyone Parsha Pekudei?
Wasn't it for two things? One, for the all of the silver stuff, the Adanim, the bases for the Krashim. But it was also then in perpetuity, it was like the annual tax that paid for the korbanot.
Yeah, so that's later on.
Had a share.
Yeah. Here in Parsha Pekudei, we only hear about one thing. Here. What they do, which Parsha Pekudei? Ask Mizbech Olah, no. Is it the end of 38? Yeah, right here. The Kesef here, Parsha Pekudei. The Kesef Pekudei da, Kikar, Mea Kikar, Be'elat Haz. How much silver did they collect? They collect 1,000 kikar. Every kikar is 3,000 shekelim. And the leftovers of 1,750. How much? Half a shekel per person. Machzit shekel akodesh. Remember? They counted 603,550, right? 603,550 was the population count. Every person gave a half a shekel.
Even women?
301,775. Correct? Now, so they collected 301,000 shekelim. Every 3,000 shekel is a kikar. That's like a bullion of silver. And therefore, every kikar they had, basically they had 100 kikar and leftover and 1,775 shekel leftover. And therefore, they used 100 kikar to make the adanim, the sockets to put the krashim into. So I needed 48 sockets for the krashim of the mishkan. For the 24 krashim of the mishkan, there's 48 krashim in the mishkan. I need 96 sockets for them, and 4 sockets to hold up the parochet. So every eden, every socket was a kikar kesef, and the leftover 1,750 they used to make little hooks to connect the chatzer, the kalaim of the chatzer with those, what do you call not aprons, curtains. The curtains of the chatzer were hung up with little silver, with the leftover silver, they made little hooks to connect the Kaleya Chatzer. Right. Now that's in a nutshell what's important for me for this year. Stop this year and go back to thing. What we need. I want to show you how everything's in order, how what's out of order is in order, and I messed up. Here we go. Share my screen again. Okay, back here. So Mizbach Toret belongs here. Based on what we saw in Parsha Pekudei, right here belongs, get a little color here. Right here belongs, let me get bigger. This is the מחצית השקל. מחצית השקל. Make it bigger. Okay, מחצית השקל belongs here. בספח תורת belongs here. The next thing was the kior. The kior belongs in the chatzer. So right here is the kior. See how they go in order? Now, the big day kuna and the 7-day inauguration ceremony need the shemen ha-mishcha. Shemen mishcha. Mishcha, however you spell it. And the olat tamid goes on the outdoor mizbech, and the ktoret tamid goes on the indoor mizbech. Ktoret tamid, okay? Goes on the indoor mizbech. But you see what we did? These leftovers, the mizbech toret, let me highlight it here. This mizbech toret, over here, that's what you wanted. I highlighted it again. The mizbech toret. No, that didn't do anything, did it? I wanted this. It's highlighted. Okay. What am I doing? Never mind. The mizbech toret was the first parsha. The machzita shekel, the next one. The kior, seven inch mizbech toret. All the leftovers match up perfectly. Understand that? Something's going on, like in the structure wise, but all the leftovers are left over in order. Now, what do they all share in common? What I want to claim is, and I'll finish with this, is that all of these are protective. That's at least the main ones. Mizbech Toret, we'll see, is going to be for what's called, the word kapara comes here all the time. Mizbech Toret is kapara for the kohen who enters to light the menorah. We'll see it in a minute. Machzit HaShekel is going to be Kesef HaKippurim to protect us from the Shekhinah. The Kior will protect you those going to the Mizbech. Shemen HaMishcha is for the anointing ceremony to protect the Kohanim. And the Ktoret is going to be a daily protector that is going to be the buffer between the Mizbech on the outside where Am Yisrael brings their Korban Tamid and the Kodesh Kodeshim where God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. But if the Kodesh Kodeshim represents God's presence, and the Mizbech, the outdoor Mizbech, the Korban Tamid, is Am Yisrael coming to God, the buffer in between will be the Ktoret on the Mizbech Apnimi, which is a buffer between the two focal points. And it'll be basically all parallel to Har Sinai. And what I want to get at is, follow, I'll end with this because I've run out of time for a change. The word kapara, remember we had by the verb kapara, what it claims is protection from Shekhinah, because that's what the Kruvim do, who are on the kaporet. The word, whenever I have the word lichpor, like by the flood, the covering that protects the teva of Noah, Noah's ark from sinking, is called the chafartotah, but it's something that protects them from the flood. It's unique there to the flood. And then we have the kaporet, the parochet. And what I want to get at, I'll just skip to my bottom line without having to. Well, I'll show it in a minute. Let me just turn off the share. I want to claim as follows. If I follow, oh, I should, but if I want to, I should put it in the wrong order. Where are we? Here we go. We've got to finish up real fast. After Chet HaEgel, let's go back to why the Mishkan has to be afterwards. After Chet HaEgel, God takes the Shekhinah away. Remember, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I won't forgive them. I took my Shekhinah away. Remember, Moshe says, and God tells Moshe, Mishachatavi, Mechenami Sifri. And then God tells, what's the answer? Take him to Israel without me. God tells Moshe, go up to the land I promised your forefathers. Keep Brit Avot without Brit Sinai. Ki lo ale b'kirbacha, ki am k'sha'orafata. Let's turn that off, okay. Ki lo ale b'kirbacha, I can't dwell with you because you are an am k'sha'oraf. Moshe Davin and says, if you don't come with us, we're your people. Understand, we're your people. We can't go without you. And he has this whole argument, the beautiful tefillah in Parsha Kitisa. And God agrees to change his attributes. And therefore God says, v'chanote te'sharchon v'chamte te'sharachem. Announces his midot of rachamim. We have the second covenant where God is not so strict anymore. He's willing to forgive. Moshe comes down with the second luchot. And God comes and declares his midot of rachamim. And then after God declares his midot of rachamim, Moshe quickly davens and says, God now should come in our midst, even though we're an amkshe oref. In contrast to before, he said, I'm not going to go with you because you're an amkshe oref. Kilo Leber Kippa, because you're an Ksharef, now Moshe David's come with us in our midst. That's Vielchem Bikirbenu. That's member Shati Betocham. Come in our midst, even though we're an Ksharef, and forgive us for our sins. That's a whole new relationship. I want to claim is now the Mishkan, is with the Mishkan, with the Mizbach Toret, is going to reflect this new relationship. Doing this way too fast. I'll give a summary, and somebody have to finish because the next two classes are Pesach related and not on Sefer Shmot. So let me just get my main point across, is that when we come to visit God, we're remembering our covenant commitment at Har Sinai, but that first covenant broke because we were a stiff-necked people. We weren't worthy of God's presence. Moshe davens, and God's willing to dwell with us, even though we're not perfect. What enables that? God's midot of rachamim. When I come to visit God, I need to show God that on the one hand, I want to be close to God. I want to serve him, but I want to remember I'm not worthy. What do I do to show God I'm not worthy? We need protection. And therefore, the whole ritual of kapara, I'm claiming, is a way to show God we're privy of a relationship we're not worthy of. And if I want to sort of be cute, what makes us worthy of that relationship? Our recognition we're not worthy. I hope you get that idea. I think it's an important idea. And now, the day of Kapara is Yom Kippur. And now go back to just right to the end of the Yom Kippur laning. We do all the blood on the Kapparat, on the Parochet, all the whole ritual. Remember? If Aaron goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim, he needs protection. He needs Kapara. And therefore, he needs to make the Anak Toret. Instead, the Anak Torah being on the Mizbech Pnimi, the Torah goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim because he's entering, because that's going to protect him from the Shekhinah. And then when it's all over, V'chiper la Kodesh b'tumah b'nei Yisrael b'chotatam, and then also on the Ohel Moed, HaShochein itam b'toch tumatam. God dwells among us, even though we're tameh. What causes tumah? Our misbehavior, our lack of worthiness in serving God to our bad behavior, causes tumah, which means God shouldn't dwell with us. God's willing to dwell with us, even though we're not perfect. But what enables God to dwell with us, even though we're not perfect? Our recognition that we're not perfect, and our attempt to do better, to learn from our mistakes. And therefore, I'll end with that. When you come to visit God, it's not only remembering you're an employee, remembering who your boss is. Your boss can be forgiving if you can learn from your mistakes. And that's called tachnun, that's called tshuva, that's called, therefore, right after Amidah, when we stand in front of God and remember his service, we mekabel umach v'shemayim first. We remember we're employees of God, accepting the yoke of heaven, saying Shema. We stand in front of God and remember our relationship with God, which begins with asking God for wisdom to know what's right and wrong, that we can do tshuva and for God to forgive us, and then worthy of God's help to be better, to serve God better. And then when we finish, we turn to God, we call the filat tapayim, we do what's called tachanun, we supplicate and recognize what we're doing wrong, and what's called vidui, and we try to learn from our mistakes. But that recognition that God's willing to dwell with us, even though we're not perfect, but what enables that is his attributes of mercy, but our recognition that God's willing to let us learn from our mistakes, he's willing to forgive our mistakes if we can use them to grow from them, that enables the Shekhinah to dwell among us. And therefore, when we come to visit God, we come to Shul, there's Hashem one day in the Mikdash on a national level, but as individuals, when we come, and as a community, when we come, so visiting God is not just a consumer asking God for your needs, but the idea of Shekhinah, that idea is key in understanding not just what the Mishkan was about, but also the meaning or the symbolism of the Kelim of the Mishkan, why we have that unit of protection afterwards, and hopefully can help us appreciate a little bit better what we do when we come to Shul, how we daven, and where we daven, and what davening should be about. Alrighty, I'll see if there's any short questions real quick. Okay. Rabbi Jay had to go, but you have to register for the Pesach programs. Okay, those are the links. And again, what I'm going to do after Pesach, I have to think about, but there's a lot more in Shmot we didn't do, but I try to give a general approach, which Sefer Shmot is about. I want to end with a theme of Shekhinah, and because it's part of our day-to-day life, especially what it means, what a Mikdash Ma'ad is, and what we learned about the Mishkan, hopefully it's appreciate what we do when we come to Shul.
Thank you so much.
Well, what does the kiyor do? I still don't understand that.
The kiyor, you have to wash your hands on the kiyor to go to the mizbeach. If remember,
so what, if it clears you from...
You had to wash up to be prepared. So
it clears. So how does it protect you? It clears you from tumah or something?
No, because it cleans you. Because if you don't wash your hands from the kiyor, you're going to die. It says. Remember, brachtu menu mem bluyamutu. The machshit hashekel lechaper on afshutechem.
Right.
Is kapara v'chaper lebarun. The word kapara or protection is in all of them. But it takes more time. There's more sources on the source sheet on kapara and protection. That's just a little add-on at the end. The main thing is that those elements of the Mishkan, there's the chaveh, the experience of closeness to God, the commitment to serve God, and understand the Torah being the guide and the desire to study Torah, to be a good worker, and the recognition God's willing to let you learn from your mistakes. He can't forgive, but try your best to learn from your mistakes and appreciate that God lets you serve Him even though you're not so perfect. Humility there. Okay, everyone have a good week. And we should pray that, what do you call it? I said in the beginning that Malchut should, we should pray that the Malchut should have Yirab Malchut as well. But we're in for a rough week and hopefully God will guide us the right way through it. Okay, any announcements, Rabbi Jay?
Yeah, well, Benny's class, by the way, we sent out, but because this, you don't change the clock till this weekend. So Benny's class, we're keeping with Israeli time. It's a Shir Bivrit, so we're keeping Israel. So it'll be 2 p.m. Eastern as opposed to 1 p.m., 8 p.m. like usual in Israel, but 2 p.m. just for this week. Next week, anyways, as you know, is our Yom Iyun. I put the register.
And we change our clock next week anyhow.
Yeah, he's not teaching it, but he will be teaching in 2 weeks. Benny will be giving class in 2 weeks on Pesach at 1 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to have pretty much every day from 11 to 1 beginning next Monday right through to the Thursday of Erev Pesach. The Thursday, I'll give my shiur 9:15 as opposed to 11, but basically Monday all through the week and the following week till Thursday, we'll have two shiurim a day. You know, should be really a fantastic program. I don't know what about doubling the donation amount. I don't know. There must be a particular problem. I'd be very happy if everybody wants to double their donation to Torah Motion. That would be nice. But the system, thank God, is working. There's a particular problem. I don't know what that is because somebody wrote that it doubled their donation amount. No, it's, we're worth at least double anyway. But, so we do look forward to learning with you. This week, Yosef Lindell will be giving his shiur tomorrow. That's already sort of his Pesach series. Mark Spear is not teaching tomorrow night, but Rabbi Shulman and Rabbi Helfgott and myself on the Siddur will be giving sort of our regular non-Pesach programs this week. And, then next week we sort of kick into Pesach here. Okay, please do invite a friend. I say that all the time. People don't always listen, but especially to our Pesach program. I really think it's, Mamash, it's really we're very proud of the program, if we can say that. I think we have put together a tremendous group of teachers. I think the topics are fascinating, so you can take a look. And thank you very much. And Kol Tov, like Rabbi Lichtak says, we should hear good news from Israel, from around the Jewish world. But Benisan Nigalu, next Sunday, of course, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. As we kick off the program, that's when the Torah begins, the story of Pesach, that Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that's an appropriate time. Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Atidin Nigael. And everybody have a wonderful day and wonderful weekend. Thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.